computer. Hello and welcome to Masterclass 2. Masterclass 2 in our mastermind journey. I'm so excited to be here with you today. We have such an amazing, big, juicy class to work through today. I have so much to cover with you. Let me just make sure everything is set up. Let me open up my chat box. If you're here with me live, say hello to me and let me know who is here. I would love to know who is able to join me through the chat. I understand you might need to come and go at different points. That is totally fine. Let me just make sure everything is looking okay. Yes, recording, beautiful. If you need to come and go at different points, that's totally fine. Just let me know that you can hear me. Mel, hello, beautiful to see you. Thanks for being here. And we will get started. Natasha, hello, you can hear me. Beautiful to see you. Thank you for being here. Okay. If any of you as yet have had a look through the workbook that I sent you for this class, you might be like, whoa, that looks big and overwhelming. And so I hope it hasn't triggered anything sort of leading into this class. If you've had a chance to look through it, I am mindful the workbook for this week is really big, and there's a reason that it's big. It's because I want it to be a resource for you to be able to come back to at any time to continuously reuse through the course. You know, our mindset work, this work we're doing today around mindset and energy, is so much more than just a 2-week conversation. This is the conversation that's going to carry you through the entire mastermind. So the workbook is big. I'm going to be talking you through aspects of that today. You can do it in chunks. You can leave parts of it and come back to parts later when you're ready. I just didn't want any of you to feel overwhelmed if you've already had a chance to look through it. The conversation today is a big conversation as well, because I know for a lot of you, you've come into this program because you're getting blocked, because you're feeling that there's things going on in your mind, in your self-talk, in your energy that are holding you back from moving forward in the way that you want. So last week, last session, we began really looking at, okay, what do you want? Let's clarify these desires. Let's own this vision. Let's tap into your heart and receive what it's asking for. And then today, what we need to do is get your mind on board with all of that. Because maybe at the moment, hi Eugene, beautiful to see you. Maybe at the moment the issue has been is that we've got these desires and dreams, but we've got a mindset that isn't supporting you to step into them, that isn't helping you feel confident and believing in yourself and trusting in yourself, and isn't full of self-talk that's encouraging you and empowering you. It's self-talk that is tearing you down and holding you back. So the purpose of this class today is to help you start the process of building a mindset, belief systems, self-talk, thoughts that will empower you and support you to move forward and help you have what you want. Because, and I'm going to talk about this, but understand what has brought you to where you are today and what has allowed you to manifest everything that you've manifested and what has caused you to create the reality that you're living in now is the mindset, is the belief systems, is the stories you've been telling yourself up until this point. So the mindset, beliefs, inner stories and thoughts that you've been practicing and carrying up until this point have brought you to this place of manifesting everything that you have right now. What you've created, who you've become, what you've got is a direct reflection of what you've been thinking and believing and telling yourself, how you've been perceiving the world, what you think is possible, who you think you are. Right? And it's cool just to see that and be like, okay, well, if that mindset has brought me to this point and I want to get somewhere different, is that mindset going to take me somewhere different? And the answer is probably no. So if not, cool. How do I need to upgrade my mindset, shift and change my thoughts and stories, rewrite new belief systems, and shift my energy around who I am, what I think I'm capable of, and how I feel so that I can now manifest something different? So that's the purpose of the class today. It's big work. And okay, I'm going to go straight into, I did do some channeled download before today, and he didn't give me much, but he gave me some cool stuff, and he's just told me to talk about this bit now. So a lot of what we're going to be focusing on today is, first of all, becoming aware. And I'm going to talk about this in a minute, that the awareness, self-awareness, and the awareness of where your mindset is currently at, the things you believe about yourself, the stories you tell yourself, the awareness of that is your first step to change. You would have heard that a lot, that awareness is the first step to change, because you can't change something that you're not aware of. But typically what happens for most of us is, as we begin to witness and become aware of what's going on inside of us, we judge ourselves for it. And it can make us feel, we actually then just give it more power. And we go, oh, see, because I'm believing that, that's why I can't move forward. And I don't know how to change this, so I might as well just give up. But something he said to me this morning was, don't be hard on yourself for what you witness. So as we're going to be talking through this session, and we're going to start looking at witnessing things, he was very, very clear, don't be hard on yourself for what you witness. And the reason is, he said, life was designed this way. So don't be hard on yourself or berate yourself for the old stories and patterns you notice. This is the purpose of the human journey: to wake up, unravel all you have learned about yourself as a human throughout your life, and then come back to who you truly are. So embrace the process. He was just really stressing, like, I know there's such a tendency to judge ourselves, but if you realize this is the process, this is the human journey, it was designed this way for us all to forget who we are, to get lost in fear, to get hypnotized by being a human. To get to this point that we could wake up and go on this beautiful journey of unraveling and unlearning and shedding and releasing all of that, so we can remember who we are now and then begin living our lives in a new way. So it was designed this way. Nothing's gone wrong. There's nothing wrong with you. That really needed to be stressed. And I'd love for you to keep that in mind as I'm moving through the class. So mindfulness and self-awareness is incredibly important. And the reason that perhaps we've come to this point in our journeys, all of us, is because we've had a set of beliefs and programmings and thoughts and an identity that has been running on autopilot without us even being aware of it. And that's usually how our thoughts function, is they just run and then we just believe them. We are typically living in a way where we're just believing everything our mind tells us, and we're not questioning it, and we're not challenging it, and we're not saying, really? Is that true? Does that make me feel good? Is that working for me? We just hear the voice and we go, oh yeah, that must be me. That is me. That must be the truth about me. So what awareness or mindfulness as a practice allows you to do, and before I go on, I just want to mention to anyone who has done my Slow Down and Tune In course, because a few of you have, there'll be a little bit of doubling up here, because I do teach some similar concepts in that course, but know that the way that I'm going to share it today will be completely different. And we all need to be reminded of this stuff anyway. So just wanted to mention that at any point you're like, oh yeah, I've sort of heard this before. So what the awareness allows us to do, self-awareness, becoming aware of what's going on in our mind, mindfulness, witnessing the mind, witnessing the thoughts, what it allows us to do is shift out of the place where you and your mind or you and your thoughts are one. I think something and it's the truth. My thoughts are me. I am the voice in my head. That's usually where a lot of us are at. I am the voice in my head. This voice that I hear in my head is me. And every time we think something, we identify with the thought. So we hear the story, you're not good enough, and we go, yeah, I'm not good enough. And the I am becomes an identity, who we think we are. And then we carry that identity through our entire life and base all of our actions and choices and decisions and everything we do off that. The awareness piece and why self-awareness is so important as a practice is where we say, okay, whoa, I can hear this voice in my mind now. So I go from I am the voice in my mind to I am the witness of the voice in my mind. There is a voice in my mind and it is telling me things. It's up to me now what I want to do about that voice in my mind. I can witness it and I can be like, oh, that's interesting that that voice is telling me that. And I can witness it and say, does that make me feel good? Do I want to keep that story and belief? Do I want to keep running that? Do I want to give it power? Or do I want to question it and be like, hang on a second, I don't really feel good when I think that. And where did that even come from? And is that the truth of me? And maybe I don't want to keep giving that that thought so much power, and maybe I want to choose a different thought. So where we go from, I am the voice in my mind, to there is this voice in my mind that's telling me these things. How interesting. What do I want to do about that? Can you feel the difference? It's actually a really profound difference. If you've ever read The Untethered Soul or the work of Eckhart Tolle, they both teach a lot about this, about being the witness of the voice in your mind. And it's very, very powerful work, even though it's super simple. And that's why something like journaling can be such a beautiful practice, because it's a way that you become the witness to all of this stuff that's going on in your mind. And we want to see it, no matter how confronting it is. We want to see it so that we can change it, right? Let me just have a look at where I'm at. You know, and it is important that, where's my video gone? It is important as well that we come into this work already with choosing to believe that we can change our mind and that it is possible to reprogram our minds, because that voice in your mind will might even tell you, oh yeah, but you've been wanting to think differently for years and it hasn't worked. You can't do it. Too hard to change the voice in your mind. Why even try? You've believed that about yourself since you were 4 years old. You can't change that belief. So even already, it's about choosing to come into this work with the belief that I can change. And I want you to even think about, just reflect in yourself, if there has been a time in your life that you have done something you previously didn't think you could do, or if you have broken through a limiting belief, or if you did have a story about yourself, but then hang on a second, you did something completely outside that story and you manifested something completely different. And if you can find proof and evidence to prove to yourself that you can change and you have changed and you have witnessed yourself break through old thought patterns, move out of fear, rewrite your inner stories, upgrade your mindset, step into something that you've never previously done before. If you can do it then, you can do it now. If you can do it once, you can do it again. So we almost need to take that on as a belief system too. So let's look at your inner stories. So when we talk about stories, we need to recognize and realize, and you know, you probably already know this from what you've learned about inner work and what I've told you as well, is that there's always a running dialogue commentary in your mind all the time, constantly. Very, very hard to turn it off. And it is this running dialogue that is constantly interpreting your world, making meanings, making stories, taking bits of evidence and using it to re-cement in your identity and sense of self, affirming what you believe. You know, say you believe, I always just use it, this is a silly example, but say you believe all men are dickheads, let's just say, and you walk down the street and I don't know, a guy acts like a dickhead. I can't think of a good example. And then you take that piece of evidence and you install it in. You go, yep, see, there's another piece of evidence to prove to me that all men are dickheads. So when we have a belief system, we're constantly moving through the world, finding evidence and proof to reaffirm it to ourselves. And we have this running dialogue that's constantly affirming what we believe, constantly telling us things about ourselves and our world. And so it's not always easy to turn that off, but it is empowering just to become aware of it and be like, interesting. I'm going to have a story about everything. I'm going to have a story about every area of my life. I'm going to have a story about myself. I'm going to have a story about men, about money, about career, about my family, about my body. I'm going to have a story about all of it. And I think it's in the first chapter of The Untethered Soul. He talks a lot about why we have this running dialogue and why we have these stories. And it's very much how the ego stays in control and feels safe, because it can make sense of the world. Like, understand the world is like this crazy unknown environment. But if I can go into the world with beliefs and with sense of certainty about how things are, and I know that, you know, I can look at something and create a story and have that story make sense to me, I feel safe. He explains it really well in chapter one of The Untethered Soul. And what's really interesting as well is, because we're always making meanings out of things, we need to realize that in terms of how we're feeling on a day-to-day basis, whether we're feeling happy, sad, fulfilled, unfulfilled, satisfied, empty, angry, frustrated, in love, whatever, is not so much based on what's happening, not so much based on the events and circumstances, on your partner or the amount of money that you have or what you look like or the job you're in or what anyone's done. It's all about the stories you're telling about those things and what you're making them mean. So you could be in a relationship with someone, and it's not the fact that you're in a relationship or how that person's being. It's what you're telling yourself about how that person's being, or what you're telling yourself about who that person is and what you're focusing on. So you could have a partner and you could be sitting there all day, every day, telling yourself, he doesn't love me. He's not attracted to me anymore. He never does anything for me. He doesn't appreciate all the things that I do. I do so much for him. He doesn't even notice it. I'm trying to think of examples. He never helps me out with things. He never asks how I am. He's so unattentive. He doesn't pay attention to me, whatever it is. I'm just making up stuff. But if you were telling yourself a story like that, you'd feel unappreciated, unloved, resentful, angry, shut down, whatever. If you were telling yourself a different story about that person because you were consciously choosing to look for different things, not to discount that maybe that person sometimes isn't acting in the best way, but let's say you chose to look at them in different ways and appreciate what they did do for you and really acknowledge the little expressions of love they gave you and thank them for the things that they did for you and really notice that stuff. You could be like, wow, this person really loves me. Look at all these little ways that they love me. Look at the ways that they help me out. Look at the ways they show their love and affection. Look at that kind, beautiful thing he just said to me. Look at that little thing that he just did for me. Wow, I feel so loved and appreciated in this relationship. And, you even look at money. One person can look at a certain amount of money in their bank account and tell themselves, I don't have enough money. I'm in a state of lack. Like, I'm never making enough money. This isn't enough for me to go on a holiday and thrive and have a good time. Someone else can look at the same amount of money and be like, wow, I'm so abundant. I feel so supported. I feel so rich. I feel like I have more than enough. It's all the stories that we're creating around things. So let's look a little bit at inner stories. And what I want you to look at, the reason I'm harping on about this is because our stories are so powerful. What we tell ourselves about everything massively determines how we feel and massively determines what we think we're capable of. You have come into this mastermind with a story. I promise you, you have. And I want you to think about what that story is. And I can already see what your stories are in yourself, in terms of just how you're each showing up in the group. No judgment, I'm not sitting here analyzing you, but I can just see it. And I can see where there are some people who have come into the group with the mindset of, this is going to be game changing for me. This mastermind is going to change my life. This is such an incredible opportunity. I'm going to make the most of this. This is really going to propel me forward. And I'm ready to show up for everything this mastermind has to offer. It's one story. Another story is, I don't know what your stories are. I'm just making stuff up. But another story could be, I've done so many courses in the past and I hope this is going to work. I don't really know if this is going to work. I mean, I've tried to change so many times. Will I actually change? Is this going to be the course that helps me? This is hard. I don't know if I can do this. Everyone else is doing so much better than me, for example. You could be coming in with two different stories, and I'm going to give you the exact same program. I'm going to give you all the exact same thing. And then what you get out of this is going to be purely based on the story you're telling yourself about it. Hit the nail on the head, said Natasha. Really, really interesting just to even be aware of that at this point early on, what you're bringing in. So let's look at our inner stories. I want to look at an inner story, particularly around what's currently been holding you back. So most of you are aware as you've come in that something has been holding you back. We've all got key inner stories. And the story, think about it in terms of something you continue to tell yourself. If it's just one sentence, flesh it out a little bit more. It will sort of be a general story. Something that you keep telling yourself that's blocking you and holding you back. And I want you to write about it. And what I ask you here is, how is this story serving you? Now, that might be an interesting question to explore if you've done sort of personal development work before, you would have heard this type of question where we really look at, you know, understanding that all behavior serves us in some way. So how is this story serving me? How does it keep me safe? There is a reason I am holding on to this story, because it does keep me safe. It protects me. It allows me to stop moving forward. It allows me to have an excuse and a reason not to show up. Say, for example, you come into this mastermind being like, oh yeah, I don't know if this is really going to work for me anyway. That story would keep you safe because it would allow you to justify not having to fully show up. Oh, there's no point really like putting that much into this because it's not really going to work anyway. So whatever. Versus coming in with a story of like, this is going to be a game changing 5 months for me. That would then cause you to want to show up fully, wouldn't it? So our stories keep us safe usually. And I want you to look at how whatever the story is that you're telling yourself has been keeping you safe and is keeping you safe. This was an interesting one for me because I gave this example last year when I ran the mastermind, and it came back for me again this time around, because I just keep telling myself this story over and over that I don't like being visible, that I don't like being seen and heard, that I don't like being in the spotlight, that I don't like being the center of attention. I tell myself that a lot, and that feels like a real fundamental part of who I am. And it causes me to really retract and pull away from situations where I will be seen and heard. And, you know, I'm dating this guy at the moment who's a photographer, and he just always wants to take photos of me. And I clam up and I'm like, oh, no, I hate having my photo taken. Like, don't. Blah. And like, even if I get a speaking opportunity, I'll often be like, oh, no, like I don't really like doing that type of stuff, for example. And if I look at how is that story serving me, it allows me to close off to things that are outside my comfort zone. It allows me to justify why I don't want to do things that will make me feel a little bit vulnerable or will really put me out there. And what was interesting when I got to this next question, which I want you to answer this question, where you disprove this story. Now, what we're often doing is we just believe a story, we give it all this power, and we go, yeah, that's true about me. That's the truth. Is it really, or is it just a story that you've been telling yourself for so long that you've begun to believe it? And you've been telling yourself it for so long that you've built all this evidence in your world to prove it to yourself. What if it wasn't true? And I want you to find as many reasons as you can to prove that it's not true. With my story, for example, and this is just one of many bajillion stories that I have, but with this one, what was so interesting to me when I worked through this, I was like, oh my God, that story is bullshit. I'm a personal brand. I have built an entire business out of being seen and heard. What do you mean you don't like being seen and heard, Connie? You built an entire effing business out of this. Social media platforms, podcasts, video classes, a website with my photos all over it. And when I really got that, I was like, oh, that story's really not true. And when I was like, okay, let's write a new story about this then. What new inner story do you want to create or tell yourself in this area? I was like, I love being seen and heard. It's safe for me to be seen and heard. I enjoy being seen and heard because I have so much to share and this is my purpose and I'm valuable and I'm wise. And when I kind of like reframed it like that, I was like, it was so obvious to me. And maybe for you, the rewriting of your story, it may not be as profound or obvious, like all of them will be different. But this was just a really interesting aha moment for me, where I'm like, you are telling yourself such a stupid, shitty story because it allows you to justify not fully stepping into your work in the world. But when you really look at it, it's actually kind of bullshit. So rewriting my story in that area was really quite profound for me. But this could be a story around, you know, even if you write a story around, if you have a story, actually, those who are here live, I'm glad this is really resonating, Marnie. If you're here live, can you tell me what is your, just even give me a short sentence, one of your inner stories that you've been telling yourself that's holding you back, just so I have an example to work with. I'd just really love to hear that. Give me that in the comments. Natasha, I need financial security. I'm not confident enough. I'm not a leader. Ooh, Marnie, thank you for your honesty. No one wants to see me on video. I sound shit. Eugene, not being good enough to go for teachings on video. I'm not a people person enough. Okay, well, first of all, Carol, we need to blast through your story because Carol shared the most beautiful example when I was asking you this week to celebrate what you were proud of. And Carol, I hope you don't mind me using you as an example here, but you know, the story of I'm not a people person enough. Because what it is you have in your idea, in your mind, an idea of what it looks like to be a people person. And what we do is we compare to this image of what we think it would look like to be a people person. Just like for you, Marnie, you have an idea of what you think it would look like to be perfect on video. Natasha, you have an idea of what you think it would be like to be a leader. And we're comparing to other people and then we're always coming out second because we can't match whatever this idea is of who we think we are. You know, Eugene, you have an idea of what it would mean to be good enough to do your teachings and do your work in the world. And then we go, oh, well, because it doesn't look like that and I'm not showing up like that, therefore I can't do it and I'm not good enough and I'm not capable of it. Carol shared such a beautiful story of how she was able to relate to someone and support someone in such a beautiful, genuine way by just being herself and harnessing her own natural gifts. Eugene, we all, everyone who I know has watched your video that you shared, was moved by it, not because it didn't come out perfectly. How do we even measure that? But because it was you and it was real and people felt you. People felt your passion. Natasha, I'm sure that if you could find examples, you would already see ways that you're leading already, but you have an idea or confident. I mean, every person I know, Natasha, who watched your intro video, and I thought the same thing was, wow, she's so confident in how she speaks. Confidence doesn't have to be like I never doubt myself or question myself, but confidence is looking for those places where, yeah, I was able to show up in a confident way and override my fear and speak my truth and share my message. I must have an element of confidence if I can do that. Yeah? Like, where am I already leading? You'd be a leader in your family. You'd be a leader in the way that you parent. There'd be so leader in the way you run your household. We've got to look for these ways where we're like, oh my gosh, I am already doing that. I'm just simply not acknowledging it. And I'm discounting the ways I'm already doing it. And I'm saying, no, that wasn't a good enough example. You need to be like this before I believe that you are that. Needing financial security. That is absolutely a story. But we need to look for, where am I already secure? How am I already thriving? Where am I already abundant? Do I have a roof over my head? Is there food in my fridge? I'm secure. I got what I need right now. Yeah? So we can change the story if we're consciously choosing to look at it differently. Mel, I'm broken/a victim. Guys, thank you for your honesty. You guys have been really, really real here. I'm broken/a victim. My past is too fucked up for me to ever be a whole and normal person that others can relate to. Whew. Wow. You know, my version of that story, if I was to put a reframe on that and the way that I see it is your past and your journey and your story that is going to make you the incredible teacher that you're here to be. Who wants to learn from someone that's perfect? Who wants to learn from someone that's never experienced challenge? How do you relate to that? What we want to hear and feel from all of you who want to teach is the realness and the rawness of what you've been through. That qualifies you. We want to hear about the times that you were terrified and you stepped beyond that fear and showed up and were a leader and were confident anyway. That's inspiring. None of us are normal and perfect. I'm as fucked up as they come. I spent most of the weekend in a massive anxiety attack over something. But that doesn't mean that I can't show up and be a phenomenal teacher for you today. It doesn't, because it means that every time I go through my mess, I gain wisdom. I get into the trenches. love your fucked it gone. it means that every time I go through a challenge, I get into the trenches, I do my inner work, I get my lesson and learning, and I get another little certificate of qualification to go teach the work. I do not want, and I've often said this to my coaching clients, I don't want anyone teaching work that they have not had the guts to go and live first. Really, because that's fake and that's not authentic. Your journey has qualified you to be the teacher that you're here to be. And the more real and raw and honest you can be about, yeah, you know what? I went through this really fucked up time and that was really hard and I'm still working through it and I still bump up against self-doubt. But look, I can still show up anyway and I'm going to share with you with a courageous, honest heart what I've been through and I'm going to teach you what I've learned. And you're going to be able to relate to me like no other person you've ever been able to relate to because you see yourself in me and I can show you the steps I went through to get myself out of that situation and that qualifies me to be a real teacher of this work. Yeah. And it's the thing I hear more than anything is that why people feel drawn to my work is the willingness to share that stuff. And that's the story I want you all to start to write around whatever you feel your weakness is. That it can become the value you have to offer. Yeah. Thank you for being honest, everyone. I really appreciate it. And like, you know, I even feel like the minute you all started sharing, my heart just went boom, like cracked open. I don't know if you can see each other's comments. I mean, you can hear what I'm reading out, but how good does it feel to hear each other being honest? We're all craving that. We really are. Okay. Whoa, that was big. I'm sweating. That was a big rant. That was good. Okay. So we need to write a new story about all that stuff. I also want you to look at beliefs. We're going to go into beliefs and this will kind of flow in. And you'll find your beliefs and your stories, particularly limiting beliefs, kind of tie together. I ask you here to look at something that you currently desire. And you all know what it is now. And I want you to write it. Just write it as a sentence. You know, I want to work for myself full time. I want to be confident on video. I want to make this amount of money. I want to get this amount of clients. I want to build this business, whatever it is. Excuse me. Write it out. And then I want you to look at where is your mindset currently at about this desire? Just get honest about that. And as my guide said, no judgment, nothing wrong with whatever comes out. Are your inner stories currently and your beliefs supporting you to achieve what you want? How on earth can you possibly move forward if there is an inner critic in there constantly telling you you're not confident enough, you're not good enough, what you did was shit, you're broken, you're flawed, you don't have the qualities you need to be this person? It is impossible. If you came to someone that you care about and you said, here's my dream, I want this, and they said, there's no effing way that you can do that. You're not good enough. You're broken. Look at you. You're not confident. You're not well-spoken. You're not a people person. I saw that video you did. It was shit. You'd fall into a crumpled heap and there's no way you would have the faith that you needed to move forward. Yet we do that to ourselves all day, every day. And it's not okay. It's not. So get really honest. Right. Okay. How am I on a daily basis tearing myself down? Where is my mindset currently at around this? No judgment. Understanding that these beliefs that you've been carrying, they're not real. They're not the truth. As Abraham Hicks says, a belief is just a thought that you've been thinking long enough that you started to believe it. You've just been thinking it long enough that you started to believe it and you started to attract evidence in your world to prove it to yourself because you will see what you believe. Doesn't mean that it's true though. And we have the ability to completely reinvent ourselves and change and build new beliefs and embody new qualities. We totally do. So what will you need to start believing and telling yourself to create this desire? What mindset will take you there? Even give me something in the comments, guys, when you sit with that question, what would you need to be believing and telling yourself? And what mindset we need to have so that you can start to move forward and have what you want, because this is all that is needed. You can achieve anything with the right mindset. when you are speaking to yourself and encouraging yourself and loving yourself, speaking to yourself like your best friend, speaking to yourself the way I'm speaking to you, the way that I see you, you know, that I see your potential. If you could do that for yourself, you'd be unstoppable. That's the only thing that stops a really successful person in you is are you encouraging yourself or are you tearing yourself down? So what would you need to be believing and telling yourself? What would you need to be thinking? Marnie says, I would need to believe that I am worthy of this, that I'm going to own this and I am powerful. Yeah. Now, you might say that initially as a sentence and be like, oh, that just sounds like words. I don't really believe it. But you own that and you say that long enough. You practice that as your dominant train of thinking and you will start to believe it. And then you look for evidence to prove that to you. Yeah. Marnie, I've seen it in your posts recently. You know, Marnie and I worked together last year and I've seen such a shift in the energy that you're embodying and radiating. Like really, and I've been wanting to say it to you because you're just showing up with so much more confidence and certainty in yourself because you changed the story you were telling yourself and it allowed you to show up in a new way. And now you're getting new proof and evidence. You're getting, you know, confirmation coming back being like, thank you. That was helpful. That was wonderful. I love that. Yeah. Now, I had to do this to myself over the weekend. I was having to give myself so many pep talks. I was looking in the mirror and I'm like, Connie, you're magnificent. You're amazing. I love you. You're incredible. You've got this. You can do this. You are a strong, clear, incredible woman. You can do this. I believe in you. I love you. I've got you. This is possible. It's okay. It's all good. Like, I just had to speak to myself like that because my mind was going to crazy town. And it took me a while to believe it, but I practiced it enough that I began to feel it. Oh, Marnie, thank you so much. I could cry. That means so much. Working with you has been life-changing. Yeah, we did some really powerful work together last year. And doing this inner work will create massive changes in how you show up if you're willing to really dig down into what's going on. Okay. So you might really want to think about this around the new belief systems, the new inner stories, the new affirmations you're going to have to practice. There's nothing wrong with writing these out in a piece of paper, sticking them up on the mirror and literally just repeating them out loud over and over and over, reprogramming your mind, increasing the amount of time that you spend saying loving, empowering, encouraging things to yourself versus the amount of time you spend tearing yourself down. Just start with that as the process. Consciously choosing, so witnessing whatever thoughts going on, asking yourself, I teach this in Slow Down and Tune In, actually. I teach catch, witness, choose again. I teach it as a process. So catch whatever thought's going on. You'll notice it. You'll feel it. You'll feel the discomfort in your body. Catch it. Witness it. Okay, what is this voice in my mind telling me right now? What is this story? This voice isn't who I am, but what is it telling me about me? Choose again. Okay, if I was to choose a thought now to replace that with, that's more loving, it's more empowering, that's more supportive, that feels good to me, what could I choose to think instead about this situation? Now, that's not always going to be super easy to practice. You can journal about it. I find journaling through that process really helpful. But that's the work. It really is the work. You just have to make a choice around, okay, do I want to choose just to let my mind keep running the show on autopilot because it's easier? Or do I want to choose to do the work to start to program in some different thoughts, even though it's going to be a little bit hard, but I know it's going to be worth it because I'm finally going to be able to step into what I really want to do and who I really want to be. It's worth it. I've been getting so triggered over the weekend around relationship stuff. And I think, you know, starting to feel vulnerable in a relationship with someone and having all of my stuff get triggered, like he's going to leave me, he doesn't want me, he's going to find things about me that he doesn't like, you know, relationships haven't worked in the past, they're not going to work now. He's not into me anymore. He doesn't want to spend time with me. Something's changed. It's just blah, 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 right? Awful. And really, like, you're not good enough. There's other girls that are better than you that he'd want to be with. Why would he want to be with you? Blech. It took me all weekend to work through it. And this morning, I just was like, Connie, you are fucking magnificent. And if he chooses to not be with you, that is okay. That is his choice. It means nothing about you. And you're amazing. And you're going to be great. And I love you. And no matter what happens, I've got you. And I think you're incredible. And I just had to, like, sit in front of the mirror and just, like, say that shit to myself. And it really, it pulled me out of the funk. I know I'm going on and on about this, but it just feels really important for you all. Okay, this is the other thing my guide said to me that is really important. Eugene, I believe my message will really help others. So even if this video is not perfect, it's good enough as it's rooted in genuine love. Boom, fucking boom. Sorry, F-bombs have to come out. If someone is offended at any point by my swear words, let me know and I'll stop it, but it flows out. Just hear what Eugene said, because if you can be speaking to yourself like this, this is gold. I believe my message will really help others. So even if this video is not perfect, it's good enough because it's rooted in genuine love. It's coming from love. It's coming from the desire to serve, and that's what makes it good enough. That's what makes it enough. That is all that is needed. So good, Eugene. Carol, encouraging words to myself feel so freeing. They do. They do, because we all deserve to receive love and be loved, and so many of us are withholding that love from ourselves. Mel, amen, sister. I think you're being magnificent too. Thank you. Marnie, that's so freaking powerful, and thank you. Yes, Eugene, thank you. Beautiful. Cool. I'm glad you're feeling it. So what my guide said to me this morning, when I was very first asking about Masterclass 2, he kept saying the words heart healing, and I didn't really understand what he meant, but he was talking about the power of feeling. And he said, feeling will help you clear mindset blocks, because he said what we need to do is see through the perspective of the heart. He said, when you're not in your heart, that is when your mind stories have the ability to take you down. But see how Eugene's words to himself there came straight from the heart. See how when Carol was saying encouraging words to myself make me feel free, encouragement comes from the heart. He said, whatever energy center you are giving power to, energy center, head energy or heart energy, whatever energy center you are giving power to, when you're in, he just said, whatever energy center you're giving power to, that was a full stop. When you're in a space of using I think, so when your language is around I think, instead shift into I feel. Talk about how you feel, and that will help anchor you into your heart. If you can find a feeling-based intention and energy, like I think for me here is, I think, am I going to be good enough to do this video? Will this video be impactful? Will this help people, this class? Will people get into the mastermind and think, shit, I wish I didn't invest in that. That's not that good, whatever. The feeling is, I have so much to share to this group. There is such a feeling of passion and purpose behind this message. I want to see each of these people shine, and I'm just going to show up and give them everything that I can, because I love this work and I love these messages, and I'm just going to let this passion flow through and trust that it's going to land in the way that it needs to land. Boom, heart energy. Come into feeling. It'll help get you out of here. That was his other piece of guidance. For us all. Okay. I knew this was going to be a big class. I didn't realize how big. Okay. I take you into a little bit of work around alignment here, and that might seem like a little bit of a segue in the workbook, but I think what I'm wanting to do here is just support you with coming into a different energy state. So whatever energy state we're in will give us access to different thoughts. So if you're ever feeling like you've got kind of some shitty thoughts going on, you're probably in your energy feeling a little bit funky, low energy, limited, fear-based, restricted, constricted, anxious. So I want you to work on what you can do that will help you come into alignment and shift your energy, because that can then help open you up to different trains of thinking. Oh, my notes, I'm jumping around a little bit here. Okay, that's all right. I've just kind of put that in there because I'm trying to think why I did put that in there. Because I think if you're ever feeling overcome by negative thinking, by fear-based thinking, by all that funky stuff, you're ultimately out of alignment anyway. You're out of alignment with what you want. You're in alignment with fear and limitation and lack, and this isn't going to work. So I would step out of that and just spend some time thinking about what are the things that really bring you into alignment, that elevate your energy, that get you feeling good, that raise your vibes. And I find typically when we do those things, it helps give us access to better trains of thinking. So I spent a lot of the weekend when I was feeling funky, not necessarily just trying to change my thoughts in that moment, but first doing work to shift my energy and come into alignment with a different energy before I tried to change my thinking. Having baths, going for ocean swims, dancing through what I was feeling, cooking nice meals, talking to friends, sleeping, watching inspiring clips on YouTube, all the little things that get me feeling good. And sometimes that can just be a nice in-between step that can help shift your energy, clear off some of that funkiness, and give you access to a different train of thinking. And ultimately, the way you're going to move forward is by, like, imagine your desire. You need to come into alignment with it. So we need to line up your thoughts, your energy, your feelings, your beliefs, so that you're like straight in alignment with what you want. Now, if you're a little bit out of alignment, doesn't mean you can't still move forward, but it's going to flow so much easier. If you're feeling good, you're feeling in a state of belief, you're thinking good thoughts, you're loving yourself, you're taking care of yourself, you're locked in on what you want, you can see it, you've owned it, you're focusing on it, and you're like, let's do it. Yeah. All right. I'm going to go into a little section here that I think is going to be quite big. So I'm going to go over an hour today. We're going to verge probably closer to 90 minutes, just so you know. I have found that for most of these classes, the early classes in the mastermind, they do go a little bit longer just because there's a lot I want to cover with you. But this conversation I want to go into now is kind of big. If this is going to be too big for you, you can leave it and revisit it later. Some of the mindset and belief work might be enough. But let me give it to you anyway, and then you can come back to it if you need it. So ultimately, this journey that we're all on as humans and that you're on here with me is about unraveling an old identity. So unlearning who you've learned that you are and beginning to remember who you really are. And as I said right at the start, your identity, your sense of self, your beliefs, your inner stories, everything you've come to know about yourself up until this point has caused you to create the reality that you're living in now and manifest everything that you have now. The new place that you want to get to is going to require a new version of you. And I would say it's going to require the real version of you, the true you, the authentic you, because I know all of your desires are authentic and genuine and they're being born from the real you. And so your work is going to be to come into and embody who you feel you really are. And that meaning, who were you? What was your essence before you picked up all this stuff about yourself throughout your human experience? You know, throughout all of your life, you have formed an identity about who you think you are, your sense of self. And we latch on to and hold on to that identity so tightly, but it's all just a whole big culmination of stories and life experiences that have been programmed into us and stored in our subconscious, and they become who we think we are, really. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just if you get to a point where you want to create something different and you realize that who you've learnt that you are is getting in the way of who you now want to be. So I'm going to ask you here in the workbook, and this is going to get a little bit into some deeper inner child kind of work. So move through it at whatever pace feels good to you. But I want you to think about, I want you to reflect on who you learnt to be growing up in your life. What did you learn from some key people in your life, parents primarily, siblings maybe, other key figures, maybe teachers, maybe family friends, whatever experiences that you had? What messages did you get from these key people about who you should be, who you need to be, what gets you love, what makes you lovable, what makes you good enough, and what was expected of you? That's a really big question. And it might be one you want to take into your journal and sit with a little bit. I would primarily look at mum and dad as a starting point, or any other key parental figure if you didn't have the standard sort of mum and dad family growing up, whatever it looked like for you. Think about, you know, what did you come to know about yourself through the way that they were with you, or what they directly said, or what they praised or didn't praise in you that began to shape the person you became? I want you to spend some time thinking about that, because that's your whole identity that you formed. Yeah. You know, what key beliefs did you take on board as a result? This is where we really get to the deeper work around beliefs, when we understand they've all come from really key significant experiences that we've had. And those beliefs are usually anchored in with a very strong emotion, perhaps of pain, stress, trauma, hurt. Everyone's had a different childhood. Even if you had the most amazing childhood in the world, you would have picked up stuff about yourself. We're sponges as kids, and that's we're shaped and molded by our environment. So this identity has continued to shape all of your choices throughout your life and bring you to where you are now, yeah? I ask you to look at a couple of key areas. I'm curious, what did you, as you were growing up, what beliefs did you develop about money and wealth, about career and doing work you love, maybe what career you were kind of taught you should do or was expected of you? What did you learn about shining bright and being seen and heard? Because every family will be different with that. I work with a lot of people who didn't have that side of them nurtured, that, you know, they weren't really encouraged to be loud and expressive and playful and creative or emotional or intuitive or to be in the spotlight. You know, if you're anything like me, you were praised for being the good, quiet girl. Responsible, stay behind the scenes, don't make a fuss, don't bother anyone. Just be good and get on with things. Don't ask, you know, don't burden people with what you need. Just take care of yourself and get on with it. Be a good girl. And, you know, don't do anything that would put the spotlight on you. Like, my mom was a very jealous person. Don't take the attention off mom. Just make sure, you know, she's always happy. What did you learn about following your heart? Was it encouraged to follow your heart? Or was it encouraged, no, you just get a secure job. You make sure there's money in the bank and you get a job that makes sense and don't worry about following your heart. You just do that. That's the responsible thing to do. What did you learn? Because it's still running you now and very likely holding you back if you want to break through into some new territory in your life. Oh, Marnie, holy shit, just had massive realizations, goosebumps. If you want to share what that is, you're more than welcome. You don't have to. Yeah. And, you know, what I've come to realize through coaching is sometimes we still have like a four-year-old child running us. We're still living in ways almost to get like mummy and dad's approval. We're still then projecting what we thought our key parental people or key people in our lives wanted from us, and we're now projecting that onto others, imagining they want it from us as well. This is something that was really interesting with me when I was dating men, because what got my dad's approval and love was my achievements. My dad was so proud of everything I achieved. I was a high achiever, and whatever I achieved, Dad was just like singing my praises. I'm so proud of Con. Con's amazing. Look at this award Con got. Look at that swimming race she ran. Look at that. Look how great she is at tennis. Look how she got an A+ on her writing. Like, he just loved my achievements. And when I came in to start dating with men, what I noticed was I was always trying to prove to them how great I was through what I've achieved. Oh, you know, I run my own business and I've been doing it for 6 years and, you know, I've replaced my day job income and I set it all up like this and trying to show how great I was, because I thought that's what men wanted. Men would be impressed and love how successful I was and how much I'd achieved. Like, and without realizing, I was kind of being dominant and almost trying to compete with men to be better than them, because I thought that's what a guy wanted in me. I didn't think he wanted me just to be soft and sweet and vulnerable and maybe let him be the king and the leader sometimes. I sort of wanted to be that one. It was really interesting how I projected what I thought got love from dad onto men. We're doing it everywhere. We're doing it in every area. So I take you through then some inner child work. Now, all of you might have done different levels of inner child work. It is really healing work, really, really healing work. I encourage you, I say find a photo of yourself from childhood. Some of you may already have done this type of work, but if you have, maybe revisit it again. And I want you to go back to who you felt you were before you picked up all of these layers of programming, all of these beliefs and stories, before you developed this sense of identity and this mindset around you and who you should be. Who were you when you were in your most natural, pure essence? What was your personality like? Can you think about those key little personality traits that really made you you? Were you playful? Were you cheeky? Were you a little performer? Were you sensitive? Were you introverted? Were you creative? Were you very emotional? Were you clingy, or were you independent? What were you like? What little gifts and talents did you notice that child had? You know, it could be that you were very empathic. A lot of people that I work with are very empathic children. They could really feel what was going on. And this causes a people-pleasing pattern. Because if you can feel when someone you love, e.g. mum, is unhappy, you're going to go, oh no, I can feel her unhappiness. Maybe it's my fault. What can I do to make her feel better? How can I make her happy? And people-pleasing gets set up because we can feel what other people are feeling and we think it's related to us. And so we think it's our job to alleviate their pain and make them happy. What did you love doing as a kid? What did you want to be when you grew up? I want you to really connect with that. Maybe you go back in a little meditation, a little visualization, and you cast your mind back and really get back into what did your childhood home like, was like, where did you play? What, did you have a playground? Did you have a beach nearby? Did you have a park? Did you have like a sand pit? Where did you love to be? Your backyard, your home? You know, what was school like? Just really cast your mind back. Put yourself in that situation of being with your parents or your siblings. What did it feel like? What did you feel like as a child in that environment? Was there any point where something changed? Did another sibling come along and then the dynamic changed? Did dad need to go traveling for work and he was suddenly not around? Did that change things? Did your parents get a divorce? Did that change things? You'll notice. And notice if the parts of you that you felt were really you, whether it was that you were highly sensitive, highly emotional, creative, intuitive, playful, were those parts nurtured, or was it sort of told to you that they weren't as good as other parts? So I think my parents knew and loved that I was very creative and playful and imaginative and intuitive, but that wasn't nurtured as much as achievement and success and hard work and getting good grades and also helping other people, because I was always looking after my sick sister. So I was very much praised for being good and responsible. No one really praised me when I was just being my little free spirit itself. Ooh, interesting. Thank you, Marnie. Let's just read through this. I lost a bit of my lighting. Come back, lighting. Oh, it's not really going to come back. If you don't mind me reading, Marnie. My parents were really strict with me going out and being around boys. My dad even walked into a party once, and because I was in a room talking to a guy from school, he became really angry and made me leave, which really embarrassed me. I took on his anger with me and thought that it was frowned upon to be with boys and the idea of sex, and it sounds so small. But I think from those moments I realized that I needed to hide what I wanted. And I started sneaking around to go out and not tell my parents. I felt I had to hide away my true feelings and my relationships. It also impacted how I was with men, trusting and being comfortable in relationship to men. I too felt like I needed to be the good, quiet girl. It's so interesting to see how these moments shape us. Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't matter how, you know, to your logical mind, insignificant it feels, it seems. If it really impacted you, like you had a strong emotion around it, like embarrassment, shame even, if you felt a really strong emotion, you anchored in something right there. And so when we really start to see it, that's when we can break free and we can be like, oh my gosh, like this was a key experience, yes, but look at what I made it mean. Look how much power I gave it. Natasha, I had the same thought. All I can hear is you can't remember. It was too far back. You're still not going to like the person you were. I'm choosing to believe that that's my ego talking and I'm trying to hold on for dear life. Yeah, honey, I'm hoping my heart will remember and tell me it'll all be okay, but I'm still shooting myself. Thank you for your honesty. Oh, sorry, Mel was saying that to Natasha. Yeah. Oh, Natasha was saying, what if I struggle to remember? Sorry, I just missed that bit. Beautiful. And Mel was saying, yep. Natasha says, yeah, I can barely remember myself as a child. I must think there must be a reason for that. Okay. If this happens, so, and I've experienced this a lot with coaching people, be gentle and be patient. Our inner child, what I've noticed, actually isn't always that keen to connect with us, particularly if she doesn't trust you. Particularly if, as an adult, you turned your back on her, you ignored her, you've been denying her needs, you've been telling her she's too much, she's too needy, whatever it is, you've been ignoring what she's feeling. And it can take time. What I want you to do is see it as a relationship you need to build. How do you build a relationship? Through patience, through communication, through just getting to know someone or something. So you might, when I started working with my inner child, I would practice connecting with her maybe each day in meditation. Each night I would bring her into bed with me before I fell asleep and give her a little cuddle and let her know that she was safe and just have a little chat with her. I began working with her just in some meditations. Be really, really patient. Maybe just start with getting to know her. I like to, with my clients, just imagine her sitting on your lap and you just give her a little cuddle. Sometimes the child doesn't actually even want to come near you, but you just, or you can imagine, you know, go back to a memory and just sit in the back of the room and just watch that memory and watch how that child was. Or if they want to connect with you, just, you know, imagine talking to them and just simply starting with, how are you feeling? Sometimes asking that inner child how you're feeling, you'd be amazed what starts to kind of come through. Eugene, I remember being very playful and cheeky and very empathic. So at one point I learned not to express myself, to hide my needs and real thoughts and feelings and use my empathy to guide me in pleasing others around me. So beautifully said. You're articulating this really well, Eugene. Thank you. I think so many people will be able to relate. That's exactly what we do. We hide and suppress and push away ourselves, our needs. We deny our own inner child and we go, okay, everyone else is more important. How do I now use these gifts that are here to really serve the world to actually just get love and make other people happy? So you have to be really gentle if you realize your inner child is very sensitive. So what would that inner child need now? I want you to think about whatever that child didn't get, it's your job now to be that for that child, to reparent that child, to be the mother or father for that child, perhaps that they didn't get, to give them the love in the way they didn't get it. And that's where my fear of being seen comes from, because my mom very much punished me for being very loud and bright and shiny. And I just was like, oh my gosh, as soon as I put myself out there, people hate me. People will judge me and criticize me and take their love away from me. So I really have to like very lovingly nurture myself every time I go to put myself out into the world. Be very, very gentle. Like I'm speaking to a little child that's terrified. Cool. So be patient with yourself on that. We'll talk through it in the Facebook group if you are starting to work with the inner child stuff and you need some support. Okay, we're coming towards the end, I think. All right, this is where I ask you some questions around. I want you to imagine, now this might take a while to get to, but this is some work. Imagine that, oh no, hang on, here we go. What would you want this child to believe and know about themselves? I want you to think about, those of you who are parents, you know, I know a lot of you are. Think about you speaking to your own child. And think about you as a child. What do you want this child to believe and know about themselves? What's special about them? What makes them beautiful, smart, talented? Why are they lovable? What are their gifts? What do they have to offer the world? Why are they deserving of everything that they want? And I ask you just to imagine you can bring that little child onto your lap and look in their eyes and speak to them and say to them everything they most need to hear and make sure they hear it and feel it. It may take time for you to get to that place where that exercise really works for you, but I've done that work with my clients a lot and it's really, really healing and really beautiful. And we don't want to just hold things against the people who were never able to give us what we needed. We just want to be like, okay, well, that's done. So how can I get on with now being for myself what I didn't get to get when I was younger and what I really need from myself? That's now our work. So imagine this child that has been loved, celebrated, acknowledged, nurtured, giving everything that they need. Imagine this child grows up to know all of this deeply about themselves, how worthy and valuable and magnificent they are. Imagine they woke up feeling whole and complete. They grow up feeling whole and complete. Imagine they grow up into the highest, brightest, most authentic version of themselves. I want you to imagine, what kind of life would they have manifested for themselves? If they were someone that just fully loved and backed and owned who they were, if they felt comfortable and confident and safe and loved and worthy, what kind of life would they have manifested for themselves if they were living from their true authentic essence? What would they believe in themselves about their own value, worth, and purpose? What energy would they be radiating? As an adult, what qualities would they be embodying? What would they believe about money and their ability to be successful? How would they hold themselves, move, treat their body and take care of their body? How would they speak to themselves? You know, I've often done this with my little inner child and just imagined that if she got everything she needed from her parents and she was really nurtured into her best self, into who she's truly here to be. I mean, I can feel like just what would be possible for her, anything, really, anything. She would just be so bright in owning who she is and building an entire life around what makes her happy and having no issue with receiving or feeling like she was unworthy of anything she wanted. Very powerful to move through that. Like I said, may take you some time. All right. Okay. This is big class, guys. There's a lot in here, I'm realizing as I'm teaching it to you. All right, final couple of pieces. So that person that we've just connected with through that exercise, and you think about who would they grow up to be, that is what I would call your higher self. Your authentic, highest, brightest self, because it's who you are without all the layers of programming and stuff you've learned about yourself. It's who you truly are at your essence. And radiating that energy is going to change everything. And radiating that energy and coming back into alignment with that person is going to allow you to manifest everything that's a material expression of that person. Abundance, purpose, joy, a beautiful business, a beautiful life, thriving relationships. So the work here is to be, you know, everything I've talked about is unraveling and unlearning all of these things you've learned about yourself, questioning and challenging these old stories. And then remembering who you are at your core and beginning to reconnect with that. And speaking to yourself and believing the things that person would believe and feeling the way that person would feel and beginning to live from that energy and consciously choosing to recalibrate. I take you through a reprogramming process in the workbook that you can work through and read. which is pretty much just my catch, witness, choose again process that I spoke about. You can just read through that. But really this process of how like we witness and we're like, okay, cool, that's my old programming. That's my old story. Oh, that came from childhood. That came from fear. That came from that really painful time in my life. Cool, let me witness and notice that I've still got this voice that's telling that about me. All right, if I was coming to my heart, if I was to remember who I really am, if I was to find that beautiful inner child and just love her and tell her she's amazing, if I was to choose to see myself through the eyes of the universe and the divine that loves me, if I was to choose to believe that I'm worthy and capable of everything, what is a different thought that I could choose to think about this situation that would allow me to move forward, that would help me have what I want, that would help me manifest something completely different? That's the work. And it's not easy work, and I make it sound simple, but it's absolutely possible, and it's how we pivot out of the old and into the new. Wow, I'm just feeling some big things. Right, so I ask you this week just to write out what are the old stories that I'm going to practice catching when they play out, some of your key inner stories, and what are the new stories or thoughts I'm going to consciously choose to practice replacing them with. Write that out so you can see it really clearly. Okay, when this thought gets triggered, I'm going to replace it with this. When this thought gets triggered, I'm going to replace it with this. When this thought gets triggered, all right, I'm going to do my work to come back into alignment, to feel good, to drop into my heart, to practice self-care, to shift my energy, and then I'm going to choose this thought instead. And then I'm going to move forward. Little homework steps. I talk about reconnecting with your true essence. So maybe once you uncover a few things about your inner child, what did they love? Did they love nature? Did they love playing and dancing to music? Did they love making stuff with their hands, getting messy, dancing, painting, singing, being creative? Do they love adventures? You know, do they love just to like let themselves feel their feelings? Do you need to let yourself cry a bit? You know, what are those aspects of your true essence and how can you maybe start to reconnect with them? I encourage you to write out some affirmations and new belief statements. So when you begin thinking about what new stories and beliefs you want to practice, write them out, stick them places where you can be reminded of that so you can practice them consciously. You're not going to believe them right away, but a belief is just a thought you keep thinking until you believe it. Keep that in mind. So just keep practicing it. The inner child work could be really big for you. If it's too big at the moment, you can leave it. That's totally okay. But just be gentle and just start with the intention of, okay, little inner child, I want to get to know you. I want to build a relationship with you and I want to find out about you. Just that simple intention as a beginning point and build the trust with that little part of you to begin communicating with you again. And then continue working with journaling is a beautiful tool too, because that's a great way to become the objective observer of your thoughts, to be able to just witness them out on paper. That's why journaling is so cool. You just put it on paper, you can witness it, and then you're like, oh, wow, there's my story. All right, what would I love to be thinking and telling myself instead here? And you write that out. Final thing. I pulled a really interesting card for us today. Wowzers. I pulled the devil. Major arcana. Devil. The card of the devil represents hidden forces of negativity that constrain you and trick you into thinking you're imprisoned by external forces. The devil is an inner force within each of us. It represents our fears, addictions, and other harmful impulses. When you see the devil in a reading, ask yourself where you're feeling stuck or restricted in your life. You may be tricked into believing you're being controlled by external forces, when in fact, you have created your own chains of imprisonment and powerlessness. Wowzers, right? The devil's our shadow. In a work-related reading, the devil suggests that you feel trapped in a job you hate, but you can't see a way out of either because job security or financial rewards you generate by working, because of the financial rewards you generate from that environment. If you're feeling trapped or restricted, particularly on a deeper, more spiritual level, know that you have options and you can indeed free yourself from these perceived barriers. They're just perceived barriers. Positive affirmations are important and will benefit you. Surround yourself with upbeat, positive people who have created a good moral standing and who have created healthy lifestyles for themselves. Avoid overly critical or judgmental people who nitpick at you to the point where you become depressed and powerless. Pretty effing powerful, right? The devil is the constraints that we put on ourselves, us giving away our power to either external things or to the stories of our mind. So this week, reclaim it. Get back in charge. All right, my loves, I'm going to jump off, I think. Give me some final thoughts. What are you feeling right now? Either give me biggest takeaway from today, give me anything that's on your mind, give me a word to describe how you're feeling, just give me something. And we will wrap up this very powerful session. I knew it was going to be epic today. Landing, yeah, Mounty says landing so much for me. Mel says, holy moly, me too. My gosh, thanks so much. Natasha, can't wait to start on the workbook. Oh, she's a biggie. She's a biggie, that one. Come into the group at any point to share anything that's getting triggered. I think this weekend, if I'm right, is our first group coaching call. I'll double check that. But that could be really cool. We can bring some of these conversations to the group coaching call and work through them. Mel, thank you for being honest in your stories. It's given me hope. Carol, I wish you didn't have to come to work and miss half of this live. Might be great to watch the replay anyway. I think there'll be a lot of things to pause and reflect on here. Marnie, taking back my power this week. Good one. Can't wait to work through the workbook today. Beautiful. Eugene, this has been awesome. Resonated with everything. I look forward to doing some work on the inner child part. I feel like there's something deep to be found here. Yeah, and you may have a bit of resistance to the inner child stuff, and that means there probably is something to uncover and explore there. So just find the courage to lean into that. Whew. All right, guys, I think that was everything. That was so big. Yeah. Beautiful. Any final thoughts or are we done? I love you all. I'm so proud of you all. Thank you to all of you who shared when I posted on the weekend about some of the things you're proud of from last week. I'm loving seeing you already take steps in whatever those steps are. It doesn't matter how small they are. I think if we can just have that momentum of doing little things each week to move the needle forward, I think it will mean you progress a lot through this journey. My pleasure, Carol. Thank you for being here. I'll double check the dates of our first group coaching call, but like I said, I think it's this weekend. It will be hosted on Sunday morning, Australia, Sydney time. I usually host Sunday morning, 10 a.m., which converts to the afternoon in the USA. Eugene, I'm not sure where it will convert for you, so I'm sorry that might be a little bit late for you. Everyone can have a look and check that out. It will be recorded, Natasha. Absolutely, the session will be recorded. What I'll do, let me just have a little sit with it. I'll post about the group coaching call in our group. If any of you can't make it live, because I completely get things happen, what you can do is send me through some notes prior to the call. And I will, if there's something you want some specific coaching support around or for me to talk specifically on in something related to you, I'll do a little riff on it on the group coaching call for you so that even if you're not there, you can still get some of the more personalized support that you need. It will definitely be recorded. Okay, friends, I love you all. Really proud of you. And thank you for being here with me for this session. It'll be uploaded tonight. I've got an interview at 11 that I've got to do that will finish at 12. So I'll start uploading it as of midday today. And then hopefully it will be uploaded by the end of the day. It does just take a while. So proud of you all. Thank you for being here. And I'll talk to you soon, friends. Bye. Bye, everyone.